Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, friends, for your prayers for Johanna. I'm pleased to report that she's been moved out of the intensive care ward and is currently in a normal ward, although the heartbeat, the problem was she has a very irregular heartbeat. It hasn't returned back to normal as yet, but we will continue to pray and continue to value your prayers. So thank you very much. This morning, I'll like to turn to the Word of God, and we'll go to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll be having two short readings. One will be from chapter 1, verse 14 to verse 17, and then chapter 1, verse 76 to 80. So I'll read these if we can. Chapter 1, verse 14 of the Gospel of Luke. To verse 17. These are the words of the angel Gabriel to the prophet, or to the priest Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And the second reading is found in chapter 1, verse 76 through to 80. And thou, child, and this is the words of Zechariah, as he speaks to his son, John. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, and thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. Let's just pray, shall we, before we come to this word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering unto your word this morning. Father, we ask that you will lead us today and shine your divine light into our hearts and our minds. Lord, would it please you to teach us how that we may live to honor and glorify your name through your word this morning. Teach us this morning from your word, Lord, that we may walk before you in fellowship with you, and in the light of your presence and word. And Father, we ask that you will grant that we also, in taking this word by your grace into our hearts, may live it before the world as a living testimony to your grace in our lives through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. In a previous lesson, in the worship word, you might recall that we had considered the words found by Zechariah in his sonnet of praise to God when after the birth of his son. And we considered in that text, which was found in chapter 1, verses 67 to 75, we considered in some detail this holy man's testimony of praise and faith. We did that in the worship word, and I'm going to follow it up this morning because I appreciate that the children were present in that worship word that morning, and they're present here listening this morning. So we're going to follow up a little bit on this account as we find in this Gospel of St. Luke. Now, what we did note in our study there was that the testimony of Zechariah after the birth of his son, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was the testimony in accordance with that which can be found in the hearts of all Christian believers. What Zechariah believed in his faith was a faith that was common to you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very true to say that what he confessed with his mouth and believed in his heart is something that you and I have also confessed with our mouth and believed in our hearts. And we share with Zechariah a very, very common faith. Zechariah believed the promises of God, and he was believing, looking forward to those promises. And even as we believe, looking back to the fulfillment of those promises that were made to Zechariah. Now, this morning, it's going to be our privilege to consider the testimony of Zechariah, but not only Zechariah, but the testimony of the angel Gabriel with respect to the son born of Zechariah, the son that Zechariah named John in fulfillment of the words of the angel Gabriel spoken to him in chapter 1 and in verse 13. So I want to turn back to chapter 1, and this time verse 14, where we're going to read these words of the angel Gabriel, words that are directed to Zechariah that concern Zechariah's son, the son that will be born of promise, that is John the Baptist. First then, let's read these words. And you shall have joy and gladness, this is verse 14, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. First, I want to draw your attention to the words that the archangel says, that the birth of this boy is going to bring great personal joy to Zechariah, and not only great personal joy to Zechariah, but great personal joy to many people, the people of Israel. Now, what we're going to do is to consider some of the reasons for this great joy that are going to come at the prospect of this young boy's birth, but also of his life and his career as a prophet of the living God. First, we note that it's said of the child that he shall be called great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. I want to draw your attention to those words. First of all, the word great. Now, this word is a word that we use all the time, actually. It derives from a Greek word, megala. So we think something's mega or big, and that's what it means here. So it's not talking of John the Baptist's physical stature, but of his character and his ministry would be great. That is, he would be a giant among men in his ministry before the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ bore testimony of that himself in chapter 7 and verse 28, that of men born of women, there has never lived a greater man than John the Baptist. What a testimony that is to the character of this man, the promised son of Zechariah. The fact that he was to have such a son, of course, would naturally bring great joy to the life of Zechariah after those long years of when he and his wife, Elizabeth, had failed to produce children. There was a great time of barrenness in their life. But now we find in the fulfillment of this, not only Zechariah's son to be born, but he's also to be great before the Lord. Now, I want to draw your attention to this It says that he shall be called great in the sight of the Lord. Now, what this means is that Zechariah's son is to be great before the presence of the Lord. We're not to understand the word sight to mean that God is looking down from heaven on the life of this John the Baptist and being pleased with him. That's not the meaning. The idea is that in the sight of the Lord means that John the Baptist was living his life in the very presence of the Lord, before the Lord, in the face of the Lord. That John was to live his life under the guidance of the Lord and to live his life and his ministry under the approval of the Lord. Now, surely the knowledge of this would bring pleasure and joy to the heart of any parent if they were told that their child was to be of such high and esteemed character. That John the Baptist was to live his life before or in the sight of the Lord and under God's approval. Before we proceed, though, we must note what was the source of this greatness of John, lest we fall into the mistake of accrediting John with this greatness in his own strength. No, we cannot do that. Well, notice what the angel says of John here at the conclusion of verse 15. It says, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now, this is the testimony of the angel to Zechariah, and surely this annunciation would bring unbounded joy into the heart of Zechariah. John the Baptist was to be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from the day of his birth, and he was to continue, as we've seen, obviously, by the nature of his ministry and his life and the testimony of our Lord about him, he was to continue in that spirit-filled life throughout his life until the last breath he breathed. So when we read this, we can understand why joy would be found in great joy in the heart of Zechariah. Notice something else that's said about John here, and this is in verse 15. It says he will drink neither wine nor strong drink. Now, of course, the suggestion is here, and it's an encouragement to abstinence to all believers when it comes to alcohol. But there's more and a greater meaning than just that. What we find in these words is a little bit of an insight into the character of John the Baptist himself by these very words. Now, wine and drunkenness are a disgrace and a sin before God. But remember the other night we had the Bible study on the Friday evening. I drew your attention to the fact when we were dealing with the sins of the manifestation of the sins of the works of the flesh, that drunkenness was condemned in Scripture. And I referred you to a text found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, where it says, be not filled with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And what we saw then, and we can see from Scriptures, that the Scripture contrasted the Spirit-filled life as opposed to the life of a drunkard. You see, the life of a drunkard is the life of instability. It's a life that's out of control. It's a life that's out of fellowship with God. This is the characteristic of drunkenness. The very opposite of that is the life of the Spirit-filled Christian. The life of the Spirit is not a life of instability, but rather stability. It is not a life where the life or the person is out of control. The Christian-filled life is a life of discipline. And the Christian-filled life is a life in fellowship with God as we walk with the Lord. So when it tells us that John was not to take wine and strong drink, the implication here is, if we take a spiritual application, is telling us a little bit more about the character of John John's character was one of firmness, both in his life and in his ministry. He was to be seen as one of great stability. There was a clearness of mind and a clearness of purpose in this man's life, something that you won't find in the life of the drunkard or anybody that takes wine in strong drink. Believer, if you will be as John, it's very important that you walk in fellowship as John did with the Lord. It's very important that you live your life as though you understand that God is looking at you and you are living that life before him. It's very important if you would be as John, that you daily live in fellowship with God as John did. And as you daily live in fellowship by being filled with the Spirit of God, even as John was. Now, I want to turn back again, after considering that, to these words that are found in 16 and 17. Notice here these words in verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient of the wisdom to the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Here's some reasons that would show us why there would be great joy in the heart of Zechariah. His son, the son of promise, was to be a great evangelist. Not only was he to be a great evangelist, he was to be a great herald of a time of revival that was yet to come. And he was to be a great witness to one of the most astounding events in human history, when God personally intervened and tabernacled in our midst. This birth of John the Baptist was not only to bring great joy to the heart of Zechariah, but you'll notice here was to bring great joy to the people of Israel themselves. The words here then spoken by this angel direct our attention to three texts in the Old Testament, and I want to refer you to them. The first one will be found in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Perhaps we can turn to Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, and I'll read chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, these words, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And the words found in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. These three passages that are implied in the quote of the angel Zechariah, the angel Gabriel to Zechariah. The one in Malachi 3:1 is quoted in Matthew 11:10. The one in Malachi chapter 4 and 5 is quoted in Matthew 11:14. And the text in Isaiah 14 verse 3 is quoted in Luke chapter 3 verse 5. And in all texts, they're applied to the life and to the ministry of John the Baptist. This was to bring great joy to Zechariah, but also to the people. I want to draw your attention to something here then that's very important. One of the greatnesses of John's ministry was in the great message that he was commissioned to proclaim. And this message that John proclaimed was a message that was made known to Zechariah before the boy was even born. And no wonder it was to bring joy to his heart. And what was that message? this great message that John the Baptist had? Well, his great message was to call the people of Israel to repentance and back to their God. Surely there's no more important message than to call people to repentance. His great privilege, the great privilege of John the Baptist in his ministry, was to prepare the people of Israel for the coming of the Lord whom they were expecting to come. That is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. His great privilege then, the great privilege of the ministry of John the Baptist, was to call people to repentance and to point them to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Zechariah had this revealed to him by this angel. Marvelous indeed, no wonder Zechariah had great joy, and no wonder great joy was to be found in the hearts of the people, who also would have been made known, to whom also this sacred message was made known. Praise the Lord for the great ministry of John the Baptist. Now I want to turn now to the testimony of Zechariah himself, to the testimony of Zechariah pertaining to the child. That is found in chapter 1, verse 76. These words are the words that Zechariah speaks to his son, John, drawing our attention to something that is absolutely wonderful. Notice the words of verse 76, and it tells us that the child shall be called the prophet of the highest. Wouldn't it be absolutely astonishing if you were visited by an angel and told that your son was to be a prophet of the highest, the prophet of the most high God? And you could understand that how this knowledge was to bring great joy and privilege to the heart of Zechariah. Zechariah was privileged by revelation to know who this child was, and also to share in the knowledge of the message that John the Baptist was to preach. What a privilege it must have been for Zechariah to know this in advance. No wonder then he had great joy. But let's put ourselves then in Zechariah's place, shall we? What joy would be in our hearts if our children were to, and it was announced beforehand that our children would be to be a great messenger and a great prophet of God. So we see here then that Zechariah had come to understand that through this revelation from the Holy Spirit, remember he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and from the annunciation of the angel, that Zechariah was to live and going to see through the ministry of his son the fulfillment of one of the and the first great promise ever made in the Bible. And what was the fulfillment of that great promise that was in the ministry of John the Baptist? Well, John the Baptist was to declare that the promised seed of the woman, the one mentioned in Genesis, was about to appear in the world, that the promised deliverer, the promised savior, was even about to come. That was the central message of John the Baptist. And no wonder this brought great joy to the heart of Zechariah. Zechariah's son was then to be the forerunner of the promised Christ of God. It was Zechariah's great privilege to have revelation of that. What a great privilege it is then for you and I as believers. You see, Zechariah saw the beginning of the matter. You and I, in this current gospel age, live to see the fulfillment of it. And shouldn't that therefore bring great joy to our hearts as it did to the hearts of Zechariah and to those of and his friends and family? I want to draw your attention then to the words of verse 76 again, this time the second part. And this is what is said of this prophet of the highest, John the Baptist. It says, "For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Now this, by the way, is a quote from the Old Testament. It's a quote from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 3. In the original text, in the Hebrew language, it says, prepare the way. Now, here we have the word Lord, but in the Hebrew text, the word Jehovah is used. John the Baptist was to prepare the way of Jehovah. Absolutely remarkable, isn't it? Isn't it remarkable that Zechariah should have the revelation of who that person was that his son, John the Baptist, was to proclaim and to point to? Who was he? Well, there you have it. In the very quote that Zechariah gives us, prepare the way of Jehovah. This Messiah, this Christ, of whom John the Baptist was to be the forerunner, is called by the prophet Isaiah, Jehovah. And no wonder then that we should read the words with the angel announced to Joseph and to Mary about the birth of Jesus, that Jesus, or the child, the promised Christ, was to be called Jesus. And what does the word Jesus mean? Well, the word means Jehovah is salvation. And that was the great revelation that Zechariah had. Zechariah had a revelation that the one who was to come after his son, the promised Messiah, would indeed be Jehovah himself manifested in the flesh. And that's what we read, don't we, in 1 Timothy 3 and 16. Who was this one that came? Who was this Jesus Christ, the Savior? Well, it says in 1 Timothy 3 and 16 that he was God manifested in the flesh. Now, this was a great privilege that Zechariah had to have this revelation given to him. And it's our great privilege as believers to have this revelation given to us. Who is this one into whom you and I are called to fellowship? Who is this one that is our Savior? Well, his name tells us he is Jehovah, our Savior. May his name be praised forever. Now, I'm watching the time here because we obviously are very limited in our time this morning. But the good thing about this is we can follow this up in another message, which is what I intend to do. Now, John was said to be a great in the presence of the Lord. Now, we can see then that the source of John's greatness was that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But also the greatness of John could be found in the greatness of his message. It was a message that would bring great joy. And here we have the message found in verse 77 and 79. This is the message of John the Baptist. Not only was he to prepare the way before the Lord, John was to preach this message, and this message, the revelation of it, was made known to John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. This is found in verse 77. Notice what it says, please. To give knowledge of the salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, and to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Here then is a message of John the Baptist. Here then is the source of the greatness of John the Baptist's ministry. First of all, he was to prepare the way of the Lord. He was to call people to repentance, but he was to also give the people the knowledge of salvation that would lead to the remission of their sins. That day had arrived. Can you remember the words of John the Baptist that are recorded in John chapter 1 and verse 29 when the Lord Jesus Christ walked before him? He said this, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Here is the great message of John the Baptist, that the one who was to come after him, the one whom he was the forerunner of, was the one that was to bring redemption to the people of Israel. He was the one who was to bring about the remission of their sins. Praise God. What a marvelous insight Zechariah had to the greatness of the message of his son's ministry. The remission of sins was something that was unattainable under the Old Testament system, but the remission of sin was to come about through the ministry of the one who was to come after the Lord, after John the Baptist, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice something about this remission of sin. John the Baptist is going to proclaim, to give knowledge about that salvation by pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something also very important that we notice at the end of verse 77. Notice it says, the remission of their sins. That is a personal redemption. It is not a redemption in the national sense, but a personal redemption that the sins of the people would be remitted or abolished or extinguished or wiped away personally. That this coming Christ, the one to whom John the Baptist was pointing forward to, would be the one who would redeem those people of Israel who should call upon his name personally. It's pointing to something wonderful, a personal salvation, a personal redemption through this personal Savior whom John the Baptist had the privilege of proclaiming in advance. Notice something else here, and we'll wind up in about 5 minutes. How does this come about, this great redemption through this coming Messiah? Notice how it comes about in verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God. An insight Zechariah had. What a wonderful proclamation John the Baptist had. What we're seeing here then is that salvation through Christ comes solely through God's mercy. It is through the tender mercy, that is through the compassion and through the love of God, mercy. That is, what's the word I'm looking for? Deliverance through, surely through the merits of God's bestowing this act of mercy upon us, not through anything we do ourselves. It is through God's unmerited favor that people are to be saved. Now, the wonderful knowledge of the redemption that's found in Christ was made known to Zechariah. It was made known to him. Look at his words. The remission of sins through the tender mercy of our God. Wonderful, isn't it? That this Old Testament saint, remember, the New Testament hadn't even been written when this declaration and this knowledge was made known to Zechariah. And I want to close by drawing something else to your attention. Notice what it says about what the Lord Jesus Christ does in his ministry. It says, through the tender mercy of our God in verse 78, whereby the day spring on high has visited us, this is the great enlightenment that will come to the hearts of all. And it comes from on high into the hearts of all who will believe on the Messiah. Notice verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Notice this, that the Lord Jesus Christ will bring divine light to us all, and deliver us from the shadow of the darkness of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. The ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ would bring about peace between God and men. Therefore, it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our peace. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says the Lord Jesus Christ has made peace through his cross. No wonder John the Baptist's message was that of a great prophet of God when he pointed forward to this that would come in the Lord Jesus Christ. And no wonder this message that was to would bring great joy into the heart of Zechariah and into the heart of his friends and colleagues. As I close now, let me ask a question. Tell me, believer, do you have anything of this joy that Zechariah had? Zechariah had joy because he had knowledge of the Redeemer that was to come, a knowledge that was also to be given to his son, whom he was to live to see, to proclaim that wonderful message when he pointed people towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me something as a believer, as we look back to the fulfillment of all of these wonderful things, do you have this joy? Do you have this joy unspeakable, full of glory that Zechariah had? You have received this precious message as Zechariah did. Do you also, as Zechariah did, know the forgiveness of your sins? Because he looked forward in anticipation of this to come, and the things that he writes there are surely things that he experienced in his own heart. Knowledge of salvation and the remission of his sins. Tell me, have you received this message of redemption in Christ? Have you accepted the joyous message that you can have your sins obliterated and wiped away through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, there are many other reasons we can show about Zechariah and why he would have great joy in his heart. And some of them pertain to the life and to the ministry and to the character of his son, which we might revisit another time. And I'll do that. What we'll do is return to this text in another time, and we'll have a look more in depth at the life of John the Baptist and how he lived that life and what the scripture tells about his character and his ministry. But let us do as Zechariah did and rejoice in the life of John the Baptist. But let's rejoice also in the great message that he preached. Let's rejoice that he pointed forward to a Savior who was to come and redeem us. And let's rejoice in that Savior, who was also the Savior of John the Baptist and the Savior of Zechariah. And I'll close with those words and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brother Bob,